Welcome to the RepChat Inside Stories series, conversations with creative talent and creative entrepreneurial businesses. We discover the inside stories that inspire and motivate creative people to do what they do. So in this week's episode of the RepChat, we have Bhupinder Singh, commonly known as Pins, which he will explain in just a moment. And he's professionally known as Pins. And he is a mixed media human artist and educator for positive social change. He's based in London. And he has a creative background spanning 15 years, and he's attained a fashion and business BA. And he's explored various application techniques in his works, including textiles, fine art, graphic and installation design. So welcome, Pins.
Hello. Welcome. Really, thank you.
Really pleased that you're with us. And first of all, your name is very intriguing, Pins, and I know it stands for something.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's had many acronym terms, but I think I tend to now just go with push it, never stop. It's almost a self-motivating philosophy when, you know, no one's around and it's just you. We need mechanisms of motivation which can just get us out of bed and just move. And so push it, never stop is my personal philosophy, but then it transcends into everything else I do.
And I've noticed that acronym and slogans and motivations feature a lot in your work. And your work is very extensive. You're quite a prolific producer of things, pictures and art and design and posters. And there is this element of using motivational slogans. Can you tell us a little bit where that came from?
I think that comes from just living life every day and trying to just pursue a creative urge and just continuing just to follow that and talking to people and connecting with people. And then what you find is the more you kind of, you know, do pursue the creative urge, you kind of get your flow and you start to get more awareness of the self. And I've just realized I love people. Mm. I just love people and I like being creative. So all I need to do is just connect the two and try and do that every day. So my mission, my overarching mission, is to connect and empower humanity through creativity. And that's come from a 15 years plus journey of not being able to get a job when I graduated in 2005 with a degree in fashion, to following my creative urge ever since then. And I've led a pretty interesting life, which was not planned. And it's just such a cool thing. In hindsight, going back, that journey could have started a lot earlier had I been more aware of the creative urge and, you know, following your feeling as opposed to the systematic education route, which is in place to a degree. So I'm questioning the whole system of how the early years could have been better shaped had we have just been more encouraged to pursue our feeling a lot more earlier.
And I know that you work with young people in your workshops, and that's such a beautiful sentiment to follow the feeling and yeah, and almost to make your work and your life a work of art. Could you tell us a little bit about the origins? I mean, you said it wasn't quite the path and then you flowed back into being an artist.
Yeah, I think I never planned on becoming an artist. It was just literally a thing of I couldn't get a job. What else? What can I do? So I just I had an urge to paint, and I realized through doing the painting on hats, I started painting on hats, and people, the feedback was they loved them. So I started making them, then selling them. This was back in 2005. Then around 2006, I got employed by a charity, an education charity, who were delivering workshops in schools, creative workshops. And they employed me to run workshops, just delivering my creative work. And that showed me my natural connection with, I guess, connecting my art to other people, especially young people who are very perceptive to, you know, just creativity, because they're closer to being more organically creative the younger you are, right? So you're more inclined to pick up a brush and not hesitate and use it than you are being an adult with the fear of being wrong. So often the fear of being wrong prevents us from actually pursuing our potential when we're older. So that's something which I recognized. I'm more connected to the younger people instantly because, yeah.
So do you think it's something to do with that spirit of, we're just going to play here?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be work, it's just play.
Kathy, if I told you today I woke up and play were the four letters that came into my brain, and you just said it without me even saying anything. So that's when you know we're meant to be here doing this. So play is the word. I think we need to go back to play every day. We need to go back to play every day. And that's almost a slogan right there. That's the
really
moment, you know, we need to go back to play every day.
So to be able to do that, what is it that we need to change?
We need to just have a sense of reflection on what is working and what's not working, and actually go back to the time of, you know, being 0 to 7. Remember the time, you know, speak to people that knew you when you were a kid, or go back to your essence. And what was your essence from 0 to 7 years old? And that's something which not many people can probably do, but I think we need to really sink deep into ourselves and actually go back to the core and to find out more. We didn't have no responsibilities. All we were doing was following the feeling. And now as much as we can do that every day, the better. It's just self-perception. And instead of following everyone else, because I think a lot of society now is on autopilot and conditioned in a way to just do what everyone else is doing.
The conversation we had just before we started recording was creativity being absolutely essential now, and this idea of flow, play, remembering who you are.
Yeah.
Thinking about the 2 years we've come through, mm-hmm. these elements, how important do you think they are for the future? Play, flow, remember, yeah. You know, going back into that simplicity.
Yeah, I think simplicity is, it sounds simple, but it's almost the hardest thing to do, because you have to subtract a lot of things that you've been taught, or conditions that you're in, or you just need to strip away the external clutter, if it's clutter. I mean, not everything's clutter externally, but I think we need to just do some real in inner work. And that requires you maybe to go offline for a duration of time. And, you know, look at your network around you and the people that you spend the most time with. Are they of good energy? And are they serving you as much as you're serving them, in the right way or the wrong way, whatever way? So I think it's just taking some real time to do some introspection. And that's okay to just go away for a week and not be online, or not be, you know, just speak to your people around you and say, look, I'm just going to have some time. We're still cool, but I'm just going to go and pursue this interest I've got for a week or whatever. You have a relationship with yourself, you have a relationship with others, and you have a relationship with nature, and you have a relationship with your phone, technology, right? So how healthy are all those relationships? That's part of the reflective period I've been on since, I think, lockdown, and, well, since over the time of my whole life, in a way, I've just been reflecting. Well, I've been reflecting more in the last 2 years. And I've just kind of just got rid of the clutter, and it's not that hard. Life is not that difficult, yet we make it very difficult for ourselves. We create issues when there is no issue.
So that's interesting, you know, to find that creativity within, or the voice or the direction. It's almost to stop being overstimulated and, as yeah. you say, going onto that autopilot. Saying that, you know, your work is prolific. And I've looked at your Instagram, and I've actually been in a gallery, and I've seen your work, and it feels like you never stop creating stuff, Pins.
I mean, push it, never stop.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
I mean, but don't get me wrong. Look, I've been working on my sleep pattern for about 2.5 years, and I'm an advocate of sleep, even though I know it says push it, never stop. But I'm just, that's the practical term of just getting up and doing something. You know, I think sleep's important, for example. I guess I am prolific, but in a sense of actually I'm just in full flow because I have a good night's sleep. So wow. I work harder on my sleep, which I don't think is advertised enough. But I think people have this thing of, we need to be, you know, work all the hours in the day to be success and everything else. Yes, you need work ethic, but I think it's more important to have a healthy work ethic so you can actually be more productive in the time you have. There's a quote, do more per hour than doing more hours.
I love it.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So, Jim Rohn. He was a motivational speaker back in the days who got me through some stuff. But Jim Rohn, yeah. Yeah. That was a great quote.
So your creative process is staying present, taking away all the stimulation and getting some decent sleep. Yeah, and something else that we discussed was in the process, which is all important, is allowing that to flow without trying to make it something in particular. Can you talk to us more about that?
Right, when I'm creating now, and when during my time, I think when we met around the Mayfair Times gallery shows and stuff, right? So that was the time where I was just entering the art world in a way. And I was just literally creating what I loved. And that was donuts and trainers. I was just painting them in ways, assigning concepts. And it was really interesting, but it was selling. So everything I was making was kind of selling. So I continued along that path. What do I feel to create? Not overthinking it and just viewing the feedback on what I got from the journey I was on. So I'm just listening, talking to people. What do they like? Why do they like it? And most importantly, I'm just doing what I love to do. And I think that's the thing. So I just continue to do that.
So you're working on that. Remember the donuts and the trainers the pins, of course. And I'm looking now at your hat, and it's covered in pins. Mm-hmm. What are you working on at the moment?
You know, I've got a couple of pop-ups at the moment, going back to the old school of how I used to, you know, just sell my wares and arty bits. You know, I used to do pop-ups in Brick Lane, festivals, Glastonbury, you know, in 2006, I was doing festivals, I was doing events, and just, you know, just getting rid of stuff. You know, we create a lot of work. So, and we don't want it lumbered at home all the time. You want to get it out there. So I think just using these opportunities of just doing, you know, active events as much as we can in this current climate, you know, having a connection with your people, direct to consumer, you know, saying, you know, how are you? How's your day? You know, just really speaking to people face to face as much as we can. And then whatever happens will happen. Then we have to go back online. So I think just taking advantage of the time right now to just connect as much as we can.
And I'm looking at that rather fabulous jacket you're wearing. Mm-hmm. Is that a recent design?
Yeah. I mean, I made it about 2 years ago. It's a Levi's jacket. I went to New York, one of my favorite places in the world, with the intention of doing some work out there. I found a warehouse which was just selling, you know, blank Levi jackets, and I bought a batch of them, brought them back to London and just painted all over. Each jacket takes about a week to do, hand painted. And I thought, that's cool. And I thought to myself, what, you know, when you see an amazing piece of work, why does it make you say, wow? What is the wow factor? Why do you think it's wow? And most of the time, it's because whoever created it has either got the composition right or it takes blooming long to do. As in, no one in their right mind is going to spend a week. Well, there's going to be people out there who are dedicated, but it's the dedication in a thing or a product that you see, which can't be replicated overnight, that makes the wow. Does that make sense?
It does, absolutely. And I think that could be true of writing or anything which is truly meaningful. It takes time to develop. And that seems to be at odds with the throw it away culture, which I think there is a lot of pushback on that these days, but that throwaway culture according to fashion and art. And it's like, even, you know, I've seen that, what's the next thing, instead of really being able to properly savor something. So apart from the clothes and the hats and the shoes and other things, I know you do, say, this community work. And I've seen some of the pictures, especially with the children. And you mentioned that they're really open to the message that you have. If there were some educators out there listening to this conversation, what would your message be to them?
I always say, let them be. Let them be, because actually all we're here to do is facilitate their truth. You know, understanding that they're more closer to the truth than we are, And we should listen to them. We should listen to young people more and have a conversation with them. You know, because most of the time the parents are, they're imparting their fears or their setbacks onto their children, which is actually limiting their potential going forward. Not all parents, but a lot of the conversations I've had with young people are most of the time, my parents want me to do this or my parents want me to do that. And actually, if we just let them be, have some boundaries, but I'm just saying, I'm meeting a lot of young people who are just not happy with that. There's so many rules embedded and in place at home. They're not allowing creativity to flourish in a sense. But then I get everyone's got their own circumstance and it's not always easy, but we need to just let them be and just try and have conversations with them. Don't think, oh, just because they're younger, don't take them any lesser serious, you know?
We absolutely.
Need to, you know, like it's, yeah, so that's why during my workshops and activity I do with young people, I just let them be and just express themselves. And then somehow we'll find a little gem in each person and then they build on that. But schools don't really, unless you go to an art special, like a creative school, which harnesses creativity, but we're in the system, which kind of shapes our thinking to a degree or limits our potential. Mm. And I think we need to just, as a parent, I'm not a parent, but I know lots of parents and I've had conversations with parents. And I just feel all I do is just say to them, just let them be as much as you can, you know, and just support them.
Well, I think that's a really profound message, just to let them be. I mean, I remember when I was younger, sometimes we were awfully bored. There wasn't a lot of stimulation. And that was what got us being creative. So having to go within and using the imagination. So do you have any pieces which are your favourite?
If I said myself as a piece of artwork, would that make sense to you?
Yes.
So, but I don't want to get too, I'm not into the whole, you know, it's all about me and whatever, because actually, but then it is about you. Do you know what I mean? In a non-egotistical way, if it wasn't for me, I wouldn't be it. But then if it wasn't for my mum or dad, I wouldn't be it. But that's another level of, you know, but I think ultimately, I think I'm the best piece of artwork. Because actually, when I go anywhere I go, I'm wearing what I've created, which is very evident when we meet or whenever we've met in the past during a show or anything. I have my art present in some way or the other, and so I would say I'm the best expression of myself. So I am the artwork.
So, fantastic. Yeah. And also, I guess, with, you know, what mood you're in will actually be present in what you're wearing and how you are. I know that you've said over the last 2 years you've become quite reflective and it might have been the pandemic, but in terms of influences and inspiration, where do you draw that from?
I draw that from, I think, my mum and dad. So my dad, he passed away in 2012 when I got my first exhibition in Mayfair. So that was a sad thing, but up until that moment, he encouraged my artistic feeling and nurtured all, you know, during the whole course of my childhood to 2012, he was very supportive of that journey. And so was my mum. When he left, my mum, she just continued to support me. And my brother, you know, my brother as well, he's always been a great support in terms of, like, from afar, not directly, but I can tell he really, you know, he supports what I'm doing. So I think the essence of family, I think I've always had that. And I think, you know, having good people around you to tell you how it really is. And I think, yeah, just having the good support networks around you.
Well, that goes back to what you said about connection and relationships. Yeah. Yeah. And that you are supported and sometimes challenged. If just saying,
yeah,
you know, what is this and where are you going? Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's next for Pins?
What's next? I would say, what's next for me? If I said, Kathy, I would say just not worrying about the next. and just doing your best each day.
Wow.
I'm really not. I'm really, we put so much emphasis on the next that we just need to do our best.
And show up.
Each day and show up, yeah.
Well, your work is so colourful. There's so much humour in it. I love the slogans because they're so tongue-in-cheek and yet they're happy. It's truly wonderful. How can people find you, get hold of you if they want to look at your work, buy a piece of your work, get something commissioned?
Okay, so currently two options are my website, which is pinspired.com. So that's a P, then inspired.com. So pinspired.com. And my Instagram is pins_artist.
Well, thank you so much. The messages are, you know, really heartfelt, positive. And just looking at the stuff that you produce, the wonderful, beautiful work that you produce, mm-hmm. seems to be working. So keep on at it, Pins. Push thank it, never you. Stop. And it's been delightful to speak with you today.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks for listening to the Reb Chat Inside Stories series. We hope you enjoyed it. To feature your inside story, contact us at www.rebcatcreations.com or follow us on Instagram at rebcatcreations.